Welcome back to Administrative Static. Mark and John with you. And folks, it's that time of year. It's that exciting time of year. It's March Madness. It's that time of year. Are you thinking it's that time of year when the Kansas Jayhawks come out of nowhere to defy all expectations to win the second national championship in 3 years like the Kansas City Chiefs down the road? No, it's not that time of year. It's the time of year for the King George III Prize calling out the worst government abusers of civil liberties. But those who've been following NCLA for the last few years know that we do this in an exciting bracket-style format. And the madness, our March Madness, is the madness of King George.
Indeed.
And here to talk with us about that is our Director of Engagement, Clegg Ivey. So, Clegg, what do we have in store this year with the King George III Prize?
So it's a great year. We're really excited. This is our fourth year doing this. And Mark, in some ways, it's sort of like a throwback. The very first year we did this, it was during the pandemic, and we had two brackets, sort of like the men's and the women's NCAA. We had the federal and the state bracket. And if you may recall, Governor Cuomo actually won our very first state-level King George III Prize.
I think he ran away with it, if I remember correctly.
He did. It was not even close. Although Gavin Newsom, who is a respectable showing.
So. And Gavin Newsom, who didn't win, is still here, and Cuomo's out. And I don't think that's a surprise.
Well, John, you may recall last year, Gavin Newsom was actually in the finals against Merrick Garland. Now, Gavin, once again, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. but this year, we're going to do something similar. We've got two brackets.
Well, I just want to point out Merrick Garland as, I think, the first recipient of this prize who hasn't left office the year after winning the prize. So, I mean, maybe...
Right.
Stay tuned. Maybe this week, I don't know. Maybe he's going to resign soon. But Anthony Fauci left and Cuomo left and
Rochelle Walensky.
Yep. I mean, we've had a good run here. So
this year we've got two brackets. Okay, we've got our censorship 16. Now these are 16 government bureaucrats who in the last 18 months spent a lot of time censoring Americans and violating their First Amendment rights. And NCLA, of course, has been huge in this fight.
I was going to say, these are the people John likes to sue. John and Janine and Peggy and Margot and who else is working on those cases? But
right.
Absolutely.
And I see we just discussed Murthy v. Missouri, and I see Vivek Murthy is right at the top, the Surgeon General, who thinks that he can tell social media what to have on there because he's got a nice uniform and almost no statutory power.
Yes, absolutely. Vivek Murthy is considered a favorite in this censorship bracket, mostly because he was so eager to censor true statements by NCLA clients. That's the thing. I mean, he claims that that there's an interest in getting rid of misinformation and disinformation. But what we're talking about here are true statements, actual things that turned out to be true that were just too bad for the government to allow us to hear.
When it comes to Twitter and Facebook jail, the truth shall not set you free.
No, in fact, the truth is the quickest way to get banned. So we have a lot of folks in that bracket.
Can I just say, Clegg, not to take away from the fun here for too much, but we had a lunch and law yesterday where we were talking about some of these same issues of censorship and the Murthy v. Missouri case. And our client made a great point, which is, I think this was Dr. Aaron Cariotti who said this, that he's not aware of a single time when a false statement that supported the government's narrative was taken down.
Right.
And I thought that was a super important
thing. I've said that again and again, and that is something why the Supreme Court should rule on our side that it was coercion, because if it was just them taking down false things, they would have taken down other false things on the other side.
I think we should get that into our Changizi case.
Yes.
So it's obviously a one-way ratchet. That's the thing. The clue that you need to know that there's something other than just mistake going on is if it always cuts in one direction. And what the case shows against all of these folks, I mean, you're talking about Elvis Chan of the FBI, Rob Flaherty, the White House digital strategy director, all these folks.
John Nazarian, the president of Rhode Island College.
Oh, well, John Nazarian, I mean, might as well be a cleric from the Middle Ages burning heretics, right? Because what happened there was a student at Rhode Island College was expelled, was kicked out of the program just for having wrong opinions on COVID and on things like that. And that, you know, that's not American. It's downright Soviet, if you ask me.
I'd say it's as American as borscht.
Yeah, right. Right. So we've got this one, we've got the censorship 16, and I just want to, and we can keep talking about them, but I do want to mention that we have a second bracket, All right. And we call this the sour 16. These are folks that are every bit as execrable as our censors.
Well said.
Well said and difficultly pronounced.
I was about to say, I'm very impressive.
But look, these are folks who would be front runners in any other year. And what we didn't want was we didn't want the censorship folks to run away with it. So we have a second bracket, right? And this is, and you've got some really great folks here. You know, I'd like to call out Stephen Dettelbach, who runs the ATF, who is hopefully, fingers crossed, going to get his agency is going to get its behind slapped by SCOTUS, thanks to NCLA.
Well, that would be very keeping with the tournament. We see a lot of that happening.
We do. It's always my favorite thing is when we get these great decisions during the tournament. I think you will remember that last year it was just after the tournament that we got the beautiful July 4th decision in Murthy. It was called Missouri v. Biden.
That's right. That's right. Well, and for those who like to follow the women's bracket, I just like to point out there are at least seven, by quick count here, women regulators in the Sour 16 this year. So if you are particularly exercised over what Lena Khan has been doing at the FTC or what Gina Raimondo has been doing at the Department of Commerce or Janet Coit at NOAA Fisheries or Margaret Cook at the Massachusetts Health Department, Jennifer Granholm at the Department of Energy, Erica Williams at the PCAOB, or Maria Volo at the New York Department of Financial Services, you can jump in and express your dissatisfaction with these regulators.
And I'll just note, so Volo was argued at the same time as Murthy v. Missouri, and that is a bank regulator who decided she didn't like the NRA, and she went to their insurers and said, you've got risk, you better not insure them.
Yeah, it's this kind of a revival of the Obama administration era's
choke point,
Operation Choke Point. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's certainly a nice business you've got there. It'd be a shame if someone took away your ability to insure it, to fund it. And look, we saw this in Canada too, where they don't have the same protections that we have in America. You can see that if the government disfavors your industry or doesn't like what you're saying, they can just take away your ability to actually function. And I think that's what folks like Volo would like to do. And we need to stop them. And there was an argument in the Supreme Court was it Monday?
I was thinking, John, instead of having a censorship bracket and an everybody else bracket, we could have had agencies that are going after Elon Musk bracket and another bracket. That would have been a possibility this year.
That is true. I have one question, though. There's one I usually know all these people. What did Austin Knutson do in Montana?
Ah, yes. Well, look, Montana decided that it was that the state could ban TikTok, that the state could get rid of TikTok. Now, you know, we can all decide whether or not TikTok is good for our children.
Right.
And if you have children, you should make those decisions yourselves. But what Austin Knutson decided to do along with the state was take away the entire platform. And look, there's an argument now as to whether the federal government can do that.
I was going to say Congress just voted to ban it too.
Yeah.
Voted to force it to have domestic ownership.
It could be exactly like it is, except sending stuff to the Chinese. So, but what did Newsom, how did he do it? Was it just a law or did he just say,
did he sue?
Yeah. And made the argument that, you know, that the state of Montana had the right to shut off people's speech just, you know, for fear of foreign interference.
Got it.
The biggest problem here is not that it's not the divestment strategy.
They had a balloon go over Montana, if I remember correctly, as well. They've had a real problem lately.
They should have focused on the balloon. But the real problem is this idea, and this also came up at our luncheon law yesterday, was that at so many times censors, what they want to do is they'll use the fact that speech came from a foreign source, and they'll say, that means we get to censor it. And the problem is that, especially on social media, Americans often repost things that may come from outside of the United States, and it doesn't make it any less. They're agreeing with it as part of their speech. The fact that it maybe originally came from overseas doesn't make it less protectable.
Well, yeah. Imagine in the 1980s that someone, if Twitter's been around, and someone retweeted Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I mean, the fact that it came from a foreign source doesn't make it something that you wouldn't want to spread. In fact, that sort of samizdat might be exactly what you do want to spread.
Indeed, indeed. And so here we are with our two brackets. We're very excited about the Censorship 16 and the Sour 16.
Tell people how to get involved.
All right. So you want to go to, well, first of all, check out our social media. We're going to have all kinds of posts over the next few weeks. But kg3prize.com, that is the page that you can go and vote. That this is
Do I remember correctly? It's KGIII?
No, we've got it.
KG3 prize.
We've got that very cool URL prize set up.
Gotcha.
Yeah, kg3prize.com. And look for it on our social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And you guys can vote. And so we're going to be posting the first set of brackets this evening. So look for, well, actually, by the time this thing airs, it will already be out.
That's right. It will be out. And in fact, but unlike the regular tournament, by Saturday, half the teams will not have been eliminated.
Right.
So we'll be eliminating people about every week or so, and then people can come back, right, and keep participating as we get into
each round. Yeah,
every Sour 16, the Elitist 8, right. The Flagrant 4.
The Flagrant 4.
Yes. Okay.
That's right. And then we'll have two. We'll have a championship in both brackets, and the winners will be announced at our King George III award ceremony, which we call the Georgies. We usually have that the first or second week in June. So stay tuned for that. I just want to say one of the things we didn't talk about was Shailene Bapp, the administrator of the FHA, who tried to outlaw funny traffic signs.
Oh yeah,
funny signs on the highway.
That's right.
I just want to say it's not all serious end of the world constitutional stuff here.
I think I know where Clegg's vote is going. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and everyone who listens, please kg3prize.com. Go cast your votes. Look at NCLA's Facebook and Twitter and Instagram accounts, and follow the memes and cast your votes, and we'll find out who the worst government abuser of civil liberties was for 2023.